Welcome to Imagine This Podcast,
the show where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way. Ba ba ooh ba ba ba, ba ooh. I can only do 10 seconds because we'd have to pay for the rest, but
that's right.
That's how excited I am. That's how excited. Welcome, listeners, to a special pod. Welcome, little monsters that are out there. Welcome to you too, if you're joining us for the first time. Imagine This Podcast. We're really excited about how arts and culture are advancing public health. And this week's pod is going to examine how one of our biggest pop artists, dare I say our biggest pop artist, is using her platform to advance mental health and inclusion for young people. After the open break, we're going to have Maya Anissa Smith from the Born This Way Foundation, which is Lady Gaga's foundation that focuses on mental health, youth, and inclusion. So that's going to be happening after the break. Before then, a little business to attend to.
We're just going to let that huge flex go by that you and David know, the executive director of the Born This Way Foundation. Like, no big deal.
No big deal. It's cool. It's real. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe it's taken us this long to actually invite Maya to the show. It
given the natural setup,
yeah.
Right?
Given the natural connections, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it was sort of a lark that we sort of invited her. I think we were talking about something else, and we're like, we should probably bring her on. And she was.
I think
so
we were
gracious.
Talking about how the fact that early classes of the NGEN fellowship at Independent Sector have just disappeared
from the memory hole. We are gone.
Yeah, that's right. Including,
do you hear me, Mr. Dan Cardinale? Why are me and David missing from the roles of NGEN
and Maya?
Fellows? And Maya and her David
husband.
Smith and Kevin Flynn,
David
a lot
McKinney,
of people, David
bunch
McKinney,
of folks.
Trish Choom, a lot of amazing leaders gone. Anyways, shout out to those and let's get the business here. All right.
That's right. So it was a less exciting than the Lady Gaga connection, but it was a relatively fun week at Imagine as we released a 4-on-4 day video that we hope provided a bit of a breath, a bit of a moment of hope for Milwaukeeans this week.
Awesome video. Awesome poem by Dasha Kelly Hamilton and the great work of Sam Mergani and all the awesome artists and spaces that were featured. So, and thanks to our partners at the Milwaukee Downtown Bid Number 21 for helping make that happen. What's up, Gabe? What's up, Beth?
And what's congrats up, Gabe? On the award. Congrats.
Yes.
On that. Yeah, award from the Arts Board. Big week for
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My favorite moment of this last week as we were getting that video ready was calling in Gabe at like 11 o'clock at nighttime for a Zoom call to like try to solve an edit problem with Sammer and Lindsay. And I think this really just goes to show how committed this team is, particularly Lindsay, in working super, super late nights to make sure that we hit all the deadlines.
It's awesome.
So transition to our next segment. Because, yes.
I like how we make the seams show in our transitions. It's really
shout
nice.
Out to our writers' room who sets up, by the way, all the writers on this show. Thanks for making us the show, the tightest podcast in arts and culture. That's why we're number 298 in the country. Go ahead, Lindsay. Back to you.
Yeah, that's right. So last night, catching up on my sleep after the week, had a couple crazy dreams. So I thought,
is this another segment? It's another segment.
Yeah. Yes. Mac introduced this segment for us. It's Interpret My Dream.
Interpret My Dream.
So and this one features some.
Hold on. Let's a dream lover. Where are you? I don't know. I didn't give me time to think. We need like a song. I was thinking
we need a song.
Oh,
right.
we need a segment transition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or Dream Weaver. Tell us at home. But listeners, let us know. Hashtag is what song do you want us to use as a bumper for this segment when David does his dream next? Go ahead, Lindsay, let us interpret your dream.
So this was a two-part dream. The first part is not as important because imagine people aren't in it, but I'll just mention it because in my mind, this was the continuation of like one day, but in two different locations. So it started that I was in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I was at a bar with a group of people that were like relative strangers. Maybe we were in like a cohort together. Like, I don't know. We were doing something. And I across the bar, I see a friend from college and from DC. Go over and say hi, chat with him for a bit. Say, hey, actually, I want to see this historic site before it closed. So I run off, and I find myself running like through stairs that look like an M.C. Escher painting, but it's like a fort. You know, it's like a historic fort, like the kind of thing you would see like on the East Coast. Anywho, all that to say, eventually I come back to the bar, run into more people I know, and then the dream transitions.
Okay.
But it's important to note that, like, in my mind, I'm like buzzed from the drinks I had at this bar in Philadelphia as the dream continues in Milwaukee. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
So that's how you get to Milwaukee, because you're buzzed or something.
So somehow, like, I have this experience. I get on a plane, but I miss the plane part of the dream. Okay.
Right.
So then I'm in Milwaukee, and it seems like it's a big day for Antoine, who is opening some kind of shop.
Okay.
And so I'm walking down Water Street, like from Brewers Hill to downtown, and I'm on the phone with him, and I'm like, "Hey, how's it going? Do you need any help getting the shop ready to open?" I don't know what this shop sells.
Probably sells shoes.
Probably sells shoes. Yeah.
All right.
And he's like, no, I'm good. Thanks. But I'm headed over there to finish up setting up, and then just come by in a couple hours when I open. So he's going to have some sort of like opening party. Okay. It's like evening though. Like, he's going to open this shop for the first time in the evening.
That makes a lot of sense.
I feel like I've seen this movie before.
Makes a lot of sense. Go ahead.
Sure. So anyway, so I'm like, okay, great. So my mental map is that I'm like roughly walking in the direction of like where his shop's going to be, right? Like, it's downtown somewhere.
You're like, walking with purpose. You're walking with direction.
Yeah. I got a couple hours to kill. And, you know, so what am I going to do? So I'm wandering downtown and I step into like a small storefront movie theater kind of environment. Like, it's a really narrow lawn building. And when I first step in, there's a waiting room. And who's there but David and Kenita.
Okay.
And Kenita is predictably unhappy to be socializing with us. And so I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to be out and about, then like, we might as well at least have a drink. And David's like, actually, okay, bye guys. I'm going to help Antoine setting up, so I can't stay for the movie, which is a very not David thing to do, right? Like, he's going to want to see this movie. But no, he leaves. David or Antoine wants his help. So Kenita and I head down the lawn hallway. And the first stop on our left is a room that has a door, but also like a big service window, you know, like a food station at like a ballpark or something, mm-hmm. you know, like those metal things. Roll up. So it rolls up, and inside the room, there's like 50 specifically Filipino people, but not Mac. Like,
listeners, this is the first time I'm hearing this dream. So I'm really balancing a lot of things right now. Okay. So Filipino people.
So a woman approaches us and she's like, "I own this movie theater and this is my family." And all these people are sitting around tables making lumpia. And she's like, "Come on in, have a lumpia." Okay, so we eat a roll.
Did you know it was Filipino before the lumpia, or was the lumpia the tip?
That was the tip. Okay, yeah, that's right.
Carry on.
That's right. And so, okay, we leave, we grab like a fancy cocktail and a plastic cup from the service window, and we head back to watch the movie. And so then we're in this movie theater. I don't know what the movie's gonna be. It's something classic like Casablanca. And
That explains why I left.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Not your jam. Yeah.
Not my jam.
Okay. So I look in front of us and I turn around to Kenita. I'm like, "Oh my God, do you see who's here?" And it's Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton is just sitting there surrounded by friends or Secret Service or something. Also, there's a movie theater employee setting up like a shop of memorabilia in front of the screen. Like some sort, like, I don't know, associated with the movie.
Wow,
like,
this is so much detail.
Yeah. And then that's basically it. We're going to sit there and watch the movie. There's all sorts of people. There's like a family sitting around in a circle, like not even looking at the screen. Like, it's just, and Bill Clinton in front of them. Like, it's just chaos. So, and I think to myself, as I sip the cocktail, which is now probably like my third drink of my night between Philadelphia and Milwaukee, like, I'm feeling really, really buzzed right now. And I'm like, this is the most I've drunk in a year because of quarantine. So it took place after the pandemic. Mm. Okay. That's the end of
you had a notion of, since the quarantine happened. You're like, ooh, so you put that.
Okay. There you go. Interpret that madness, please.
So I think there's something about the fact that at the movie theater, the snack stand, that the folks who were selling the lumpia were clearly Filipino, but also not making pizza, which, you know, sort of had the Mac probably inception you about something about Filipinos making food from a couple of weeks ago from mm-hmm. history.
We had a lumpia conversation, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think there's something about your past life, present life, East Coast, current time, you know, and there's this, hey, I want to see these sites. So there's something about the memories of the past that you're still holding on to and fond of. And then you were brought to the present. And it's almost this whirlwind of like all these people that are your work life, like, I got to do these things. And I think the presence of the Lumpia and the movie theater is literally arts and culture. Like, that is arts and culture, and you're in it. And you're navigating it sometimes with David, sometimes with Kenita. I'm not there, but I'm there. You know, there was no Annie mentioned, so that's interesting. But I think there's something. Sorry. No, I don't. I'm just saying. I don't have a point of view in it. I'm just noticing that these are things I'm noticing. And so, I think there's something about. I wonder if there's some sort of there's stuff about your past life either you miss or is not present in your current life, because that was a very interesting before and now. And again, I don't know. I don't have feelings with it. I'm just noticing.
It was a pretty comprehensive set of dreams. That's true. Yeah.
That's wow.
And also Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Also What's up with Bill Clinton? What's up with Bill Clinton? That's a good wonder. That's a good wondering. if I were to hazard a guess, I wonder if it's your perspectives of the progress of the Democratic Party. Like, maybe there's something about.
You're fond of the
Clinton era party or the Hillary party part versus
or that it was like the DNC not being in Milwaukee.
Right? There it is. And that maybe he was like the awful consolation prize. You know, we're not going to have the DNC, but Bill Clinton will watch.
Bill Clinton will come to the screening of Casablanca
in one of your theaters. And we will sell merch up front while it is happening.
That's right. Yeah. Well,
there you go. Wow.
Thanks for that. Thanks
really
for
rich.
That.
Obviously, our listeners have better interpretations. Hashtag interpret my dream. Imagine this podcast. All those things. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why Annie and Esteban weren't in my dreams. No offense, guys.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's you can't choose your dreams.
Sorry, the Filipino family of 50 people didn't include you for some reason.
Well, when he said the Filipinos, my thought is like, how did you know? And then he said Lumpia. I'm like, okay, that's fair.
For some reason, they were clearly Lumpia to me and not like another form of
not other egg roll.
Yeah. Right.
That's fun.
All right. Well, thanks for trying to help me interpret that multifaceted dream. I've done enough talking. So let's turn it in a direction more related to the episode at hand today. For both of you. Whoever wants to go first, curious if you have an experience about an artist that inspired you growing up that somehow connected to you or affirmed an aspect of your identity, maybe felt like you made you feel like you belonged.
Not, as in like a big family that makes Lumpia, Mac, who doesn't.
You know, I was a part of this family band that was 49 people and it actually traveled and sang folk songs and made Lumpia. And so it's odd that they made an appearance.
Owned movie theaters too.
Yeah, at a very lucrative movie theater. It's really interesting to shut up in your dream. No, I will mention this. When I think about this question, I think about, I grew up listening to a ton of like new wave music from England. And like, so we're talking Erasure, we're talking Depeche Mode. And there was some, that wasn't the music I listened, like my peers listened to a lot of Van Halen. They listened to a lot of Guns N' Roses, so give you a sense of time and date. But I was listening to these other groups, and there was something about these artists really appealed to me. And I think it's something about the outsiderness. It's something about sort of because they sang in these accents, or like Erasure, openly gay, right? There's something about their outsiderness that really appealed to me, and they were doing their thing. And I think that really appealed to me as someone who didn't really totally fit in where I grew up. Like, I didn't really like, I mean, I didn't mind that music, but it didn't connect with me like this music did. And so it's like when I hear New Order, Bizarre Love Triangle, or I hear, you know, Ola Moore or Little Respect, it's just hearing that music made me feel more like, yeah, you're all right. There's something about that. So that when I hear that question, I think of that. So that's me. Still love that music, by the way. Still love it.
You know, I think for me, I think I may have shared in a previous episode how my parents would take me to see movies in Chinatown. And so I've always seen like people who look like me on the movie screen, but it wasn't until seeing Big Trouble in Little China, which was an American movie, but that took sort of the myths and the stories of my culture seriously. And also showed, you know, people who look like me in sort of the hero role in a movie made by Americans, where it also sort of portrayed the sort of white characters as a little bit more doofusy, that it sort of made me feel like I belonged, right? And and moreover, that I belonged in a hero story and also in the movies. And so, yeah, that was definitely the first moment. And also, one of the first movies I saw twice in the movie theater. Came out when I was nine or 10. Snuck back in the movie theater the day after, saw it the first time.
Nice. I appreciate you bringing up that question, Lindsay, because I think it really connects to who we're going to be talking about after the break, which is Maya Nisa Smith, who is from the Born This Way Foundation. And Lady Gaga that's the foundation that Lady Gaga started in service to supporting the mental health of young people and helping them build a kinder, brave world by helping them feel included. And so I think this notion of arts and culture has a huge role, right, in making our places better, making people feel like they belong. And we're gonna talk with Maya in a bit about that. But before we get to that, I think we'd be remiss without mentioning there's some really cool local work that are doing this, and we wanted to celebrate and shout out. Back to that arts and culture thing, El Sebas of Brown's Crew, which is a local duo here based out of Milwaukee. It was cool to see him hyping up this barbershop event, Barbershop Real Talk, where teenage boys aged 13 to 19 can get haircuts and they get invited to discuss their struggles, stigmas, dreams, and fears and coping and toxic masculinity. So it's cool to see, you know, he not only does the work as a hip hop artist, but also creating the spaces and amplifying these spaces where young men could get together in a safe space, literally getting their hair cut, getting their hair did, as well as talking with other young men and other adults, males, to talk about that. So that's some really exciting work that's being done, as well as Pearls for Teen Girls, which communicates they want to improve the quality of life and strengthening the community one girl at a time, by empowering young people with self-development tools and guidance and support to strive for better and brighter futures. And that's a powerful grassroots group out there and doing a lot of really cool youth-led work out there. So wanted to celebrate those initiatives that are happening in the city. And
I want to give a special shout out to Pearls for Teen Girls. You know, this week as part of our 4-on-4-day stuff, we asked folks to share how they are moving Milwaukee forward. And Pearls was one of the few organizations that stepped up with a really great answer on social. Special shout out to them for being part of that conversation.
That's awesome. Speaking of being part of the conversation, after the break, we're really excited to have our guest and a little bit about Maya Nisa Smith. She's not only somebody that Dave and I had the pleasure of meeting a while ago, she's the leader of the Born This Way Foundation. But before that, she's had 15 years of experience in youth empowerment, civic engagement, and community development. She helped start mobilize.org. She also started with Rock the Vote. So she's been in the game. She's the first executive director of this organization, and it tries to foster communities that bolster mental health awareness and support resource accessibility. She's made it her mission to collaborate with many partners to make this happen. For example, they've done the corporate route, partnering with groups like Zappos and Starbucks, you know, little mom and pop shops like that. But they've also launched a flagship teen mental health first aid program in cooperation with the National Council for Behavioral Health. They also started a media channel called Channel Kindness, which features young reporters across the country who report on stories of kindness, compassion, and bravery. There's been 100 youth reporters across the country over the last couple of years, and they've also connected with Lady Gaga herself on the inaugural Channel Kindness Tour. We're so excited to have Maya Nisa Smith talk about the work of the foundation after the break.
I believe you when the morning greets you, my lovely, lovely child.
Wow, Maya, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with two old friends.
Maya, it's so weird to be with you without lanyards on, with our first names on it, and stickers attached, with what rooms we can enter and what rooms we can't.
Awkwardly.
To think there was a time in which we like talk smack about conferences, like give me all of
conferences. You want all the conferences. You want all the tote bags and
that's so
all
funny.
The mints.
I was just going to make a comment about how we would be awkwardly like sipping coffee in a transition between sessions. And now it's like, can we do that? Can we do that again? Can we please get back to it?
Yeah, we'd be like, I'm not going to that breakout. I've been to too many breakouts.
That's right. So listener, you're joined by Maya Anista Smith, a dear friend that comes back 10 years almost. Although I say dear friend in the sense we don't spend a lot of time together, but the times we do get together, we get there really quickly, as we are referring to our times together in the nonprofit world and different, we had different career skins. We're snakes now. We have snakes with different skins. But we had different lives, but we connected through Independent Sector, which is a large convening body, yada, yada, nonprofit Oscars, as I like to call it, yada, yada, yada. And we stayed connected through the years. And so David and I were thinking about all those wonderful people, because that's how me and David met. We met through this fellowship, through the 40 Under 40 through Independent Sector. Thank you, American Express, NGEN. I've got to throw that stuff in there. And then we met you through that, right? We thought, gosh, she's actually doing something with arts and culture in a cool way. We should see if she comes on the pod. And this is very much like put a scrap of paper in a bottle in an ocean.
Just
and maybe it comes back. And you were like immediate. You're like, hey, what's up? What's going on? We're like, yeah. So here you are. That's the story of how you got to here.
Well, I mean, like, I want to tell you it's because it's the both of you, but it's also a pandemic and I miss talking to people and the sound of my own voice just so desperately that I will take any interview. Just kidding. I'm particularly excited to talk to both of you.
I can tell that you're like, we have this good bone of me because you're all about the kindness and you went snarky on us. That's a good vibe. You're on brand though. It was a sweet thought, but there, you're giving us a little, I like
it. But I mean, seriously, that's also our brand too. I mean, we are the 298th ranked podcast arts category in America.
Yeah.
But we're up from 400 though. So that's shooting up the charts.
And we're excited to have you.
I have a be kind tattoo. And when I have to say something unkind, I just go like
that. You covered up. So Maya, we shared your bio before before you came on the pod, and you've got a history of starting organizations and leading organizations and working in civic engagement, and the gist of, ultimately the theme of this can be better and why not? Why can't we make this better right now? Right. That's sort of been a theme for you. And I'm sort of wondering, we're going to go origin story, but also arts and cultural origin story. Was there an arts and cultural experience that left a strong imprint on you? It might've been a book, might've been a performance you witnessed, or might've been something you created or performed. It could be recent. It could be long ago. What resonates for you as an arts and cultural experience?
Yeah. So I love this question. So the first thing that comes up for me when I think about culture is the fact that I come from a different one. Mm. And when I was little, I'm Romanian. My parents immigrated here a couple of years before I was born, and my grandma lived with us and raised my brother and I, and she was like straight out of My Big Fat Greek Wedding, right? She was that grandma. She didn't learn English. She threw shoes at my door when I had a phone call. Like, it was just this incredible different
world. It was the kind of thing that even be like, come on, that's a little too on the nose, central casting. Yeah, it's a little too cliche. Like, come on. And
absolutely.
She was that.
100%. So for me, I am fortunate enough to have grown up in what felt like two different cultures, right? So I was always really aware of both the culture that I aspired to assimilate into and the culture that my parents had come from. And Romanian was my first language. And so I think about that from a culture perspective. And then when I think about arts, I think like the talent that I have, unfortunately, like it would be offensive if I sang and I never stuck with an instrument. But for me, like storytelling, right, is my like art. I always thought of it as a talent, but when you ask this question, I think like the ability to tell a good story, to evoke emotions, to make people laugh, to make people cry, like that's a thing I figured out at a very, very young age. And I remember like sitting in my garden, just like talking to myself, right? Like they must have like really asked a lot of professionals for their opinions about me, but I just loved to talk, and I love to write stories and make up stories and tell stories. And so from a very young age, that manifested into talking much more than anyone wanted me to, writing, reading. And I think probably that's like the thing I do most now as the executive director at Born This Way Foundation, is I get to still tell stories.
Mm.
So, you know, just sort of listening to you reflect on that, Maya, it sounds like you, as a child, you had kind of like a, would be sort of caught in wonder, right? And sort of like be able to daydream a little bit. And I think I remember a young David as somebody who did that too, but now because I'm old, it feels like I've stopped doing it. Do you still find yourself kind of having those moments of like kind of like daydreaming and wandering and sort of in your own thoughts and sort of like catching that sense of enchantment?
I love that question. And I absolutely do. I think in part, because I have given birth to myself. I have like a 6-year-old spicy virgin of myself. She like sits in her tent in her room and talks to her dolls. And she is me. So it's really cool to watch and connect with myself in that way in childhood and wonder. And then I think, and this is how it connects to the work that I do now. A lot of people ask me sometimes if they'll say like, how many Lady Gaga concerts have you been to? And I genuinely can't count. I probably heard her sing thousands of times.
Wow.
And to get to watch talent and passion and like purpose at that level, right? Like that's probably the place, like besides parenting and marriage and like those like personally fulfilling things on a daily basis, the place where I'm like most enchanted and in awe is when I see talent at the level that I get to see. And so I'm fortunate that wonder and awe and enchantment is a part of my personal and professional life still.
I'm going to go with this theme just because this is one on the prep question. So I'm catching a little bit off right now.
I didn't read your prep question.
Oh, good. That's good. Given that I spent a lot of time because your staff was like asking me really quickly, what are you going to ask her? I'm like, I better come up with some questions. So, but you've worked at, you know, you started up organizations, right? And you've worked at this thing. What's it like when an artist like that invites you to be part of their team and to be, hey, do you want to help us think through this thing, right? Or help us do this, right?
I was just talking to my kids about it today. They've like just started to figure out who Lady Gaga is and like, right? Like, I've worked for her for their whole lives.
Yeah.
But they just thought she was a friend of mine, my boss. They didn't think of her as who she is in the world. And when I was saying that, like, that she is famous, and Hunter was particularly asking how to increase his net worth, and he was asking about her. And I said, she is famous. She does have all of these things. He asked me specifically how many black cars we drive in when we go somewhere. I think he'd seen the like presidential motorcade.
Yeah, that's right.
And he spoke about how we travel like that too. I said like, she's just my friend, right? Like she's just this incredible person who has this vision for the world that they want to see. In the world that they needed to see when they were younger, and Lady Gaga has this huge heart. She is one of the kindest people I know, and the work that we get to do together comes from her own experiences growing up. She was, as so many of us were, she was pretty severely bullied. And people were mean to her because of the different, unique, talented person that she is today and was, you know, at 5 years old. And so when you look at the impact that she wants to have in the world, she was very clear from an early age that if she was to survive her life, she would dedicate her time, treasure, and talent to make sure that other young people not only survived, but that they were able to thrive. And so to me, as a mom in particular, just the pain that she went through and the hope that she has for a better, kinder life for young people is what drives me. And the, like, you know, the concerts and the travel and all of this incredible world that she's invited me into is certainly part of the perks, but getting to do this work with her is gonna be the privilege of a lifetime.
I gotta say, an artist like her, you know, when she wants a producer, she knows what producer she wants. If there's a specific instrumentalist that's our songwriter or collaborator she knows he wants. So it's very telling where it's like, hey, I need somebody to build this out. I'm going to go to Maya to do this. I mean, that's pretty awesome to have an artist who has that kind of vision, knowing that your art is the ability to build these structures where others can join in and make powerful contributions together, namely to making a more inclusive place for young people, particularly mental health. Speaking of contributions, let's talk about collaborations. What are some of the more unlikely collaborations? And I think to take on work like this, some, you know, Dave and I talk about a lot is that you're going to have maybe unique bedfellows, right? Or unique partners, because you're trying to create a totally different result than you did before. So you need different partnerships in new ways. What have been fun, unlikely partnerships that you've been able to foster in service to connecting people to the work of creating a kinder place for young people to emerge?
Yeah, this is one of the coolest parts of my job, just getting to think like, who will help us? So Cynthia Germanata, who's Lady Gaga's mom and president and co-founder of the foundation, she talks about having an open tent approach, right? That the issues that we're trying to solve. So the goals of the foundation are to make kindness cool, to validate the emotions of young people around the world, and to eliminate the stigma around mental health, right? So we definitely have big, audacious, ambitious goals. And Cynthia always talks about our open tent approach to partnerships, right? That in order for these issues to get addressed, we're each gonna need to see our part within it. So we've gotten to do some really, really incredible partnerships across sectors. I think like, you know, you gave the like hashtag ad to American Express to bring us together. I think for me, it would be Starbucks, right? Like we've worked with them for 3 years. I've probably given them half of my fortune over the past 30 years. And we were trying to think about like what is like one of the most ubiquitous brands in our culture, and how can we think about using their platforms to share kindness, to talk about encouraging conversations around mental health. And so over the past 3 years, we've done some really incredible work with Starbucks around, you know, celebrating pride and inviting local volunteerism events in their stores. And Lady Gaga designed a series of drinks called Cups of Kindness. And we've helped curate music and just create this culture of kindness. So Starbucks has been a favorite. And then one of the cool things we did is we worked with our friends at Deloitte and the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
You don't often think about kindness when you think about those organizations, but I think that they're two of the best examples, because we did a study with them called the Business of Kindness, right? Because kindness is often viewed as this like nice to have mushy feeling, right? But kind environments in the workplace, that has an impact on absenteeism, on employee satisfaction, on employee churn rates, right? So it was so cool to, in a very data-driven way, get to talk about the impact of kindness on the business sector and expose it to new audiences. And I do think, I think we learned a lot from them, and hopefully they integrated a lot of our kindness practices as well. Mm-hmm. And then I think for me, the most fulfilling partnerships and just connections have been with the young people that we work with. So we just wrapped up an application process for our advisory board. Which will comprise of a certain number, I can't like spill the beans yet, but a certain number of young people from all around the world. And they are our bosses. They guide our work. They advise our programs. They're ambassadors. And so getting to know and learning from these young people over the past 9-ish years has been for sure my favorite example of collaboration.
That is so cool. And it reminds me, as you were talking about sort of the business of kindness and a lot of the work that you've been doing with corporate partners, it sort of reminded me that, you know, I don't know if it's just a little bit different here in the middle of the country, particularly in Milwaukee, where we have kind of a much more straight ahead sort of upper Midwest German Protestant work ethic sort of thing happening. But, you know, I've been in a couple of meetings with corporate partners or with other partners with us to try to figure out how we measure the impact of the arts, particularly in health, right? Because I think we know that arts drives general public health outcomes, and we're trying to figure out how to measure those things and also to put some real muscle around this idea that if arts and culture creates connection and that creates understanding, that that increases a sense of love. And like, I always feel a little bit strange talking about it. And the moment I put words to it, people are like, oh yeah, let's figure that out, right? But it feels difficult to figure out how you measure it, right? So have you all sort of thought like what your sort of like point of view is on how to sort of have that conversation with somebody like Starbucks or someone like Deloitte, for example?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we you know, it's hard to put KPIs on things that are so unique and personal, right? Yeah. And I actually always push back on whether we should or not, right? So I think a lot about, so we do a lot of, obviously our mission is to eliminate stigma around mental health, to get us to think proactively about mental health the same way we do about physical health. Shout out to you, Matt, for your aggressive workout habit. So glad about that. Clearly aggressive therapy habit. And I think about, right, and you guys both know my husband, Dave, who's awesome and works for the government here in California, but we lost his dad, my father-in-law, to suicide 12 years ago, right? And so when I think about the urge to put KPIs to our work, I think if I do this work and one family is spared the pain that mine has gone through, it'll have been worth it, right? Just one family to have their George back, right? Mm-hmm. And similarly with kindness, we do this big kindness campaign every year called Be Kind 21, where we ask people to think about kind acts they can do for 21 days. And everyone wants to know, like, you know, how many people, how many kind acts? And last year we did 5.2 million people signed up, 112 million unique acts of kindness. But there was a young woman in Brazil who every day for 21 days chose not to cut herself. Right? That was her kind act. Mm. When invited to think about what does kindness mean to you, she wanted to try and stop her habit of self-harm, right? And those types of things just can't be measured. Mm. And so if I was to like, I think a lot about like what my dream, like what's on my tombstone, right? Like, I know that's a weird thing way of saying it, but like, what am I going to be known for? And for me, I think personally and professionally, it's the like creation of invitations, right? Mm. Like, that's what I want to do. I don't want to measure what happens because I invited people to be kind. I want to invite more people to be kind, to love themselves, to know how valued they are in the world, to know that they matter. I want to invite people to connect with one another and build community and see themselves as part of the community. And like, I actually, it's not up to me what happens after that invitation is issued, but I think so few people feel like they belong somewhere that my invitation is to remind them that they belong and then see what happens. Mm.
You know, the thing, Maya, that we've all been dealing with right around the world, right? This pandemic, right? And you name mental health already was a challenge. You put the physical challenge of the pandemic, which is not just physically a toll through the virus, but also the isolation that probably amplifies that. And I'm really curious to learn sort of how have you all either witnessed, had to evolve or maybe adjust the work in order to meet that moment for folks, because folks' mental health is definitely, young people's mental health, really pressured, can't even go to school, right, and be around people and learn in the ways they might be used to, for example, among other things. Not all kids maybe attend school in person like that, but what have you all seen, witnessed, and what might you continue to take with us as we emerge, hopefully, from this?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a doozy of a year. And it's the pandemic, it's the continued fight against racism, it's so many things right now. And somehow young people, even in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles, right, have continued to innovate and collaborate and create and solve problems and create new platforms on which to learn and ways to communicate. And I'm just like, I continue to be stunned by their resilience and care for one another. At the foundation, we already were doing a pretty big push for virtual programs because we know that, that's where young people are interacting. Mm-hmm. We did a piece of research before the pandemic that said that 91% of young people view their mental health as a priority. But less than 50% of those young people know where to go to access resources to support their mental health, right? And I'd imagine if we did that research today, that Delta would have grown even more. And so we've been pushing more virtual tools. So we work with our friends at jack.org, which is an incredible Canadian mental health organization, to share the word, to share, like spread the word on their BeThere.org tool, which teaches people how to have hard conversations, how to access resources, how to support themselves or someone else in crisis. We work with our friends at Find Your Anchor Box, which is an incredible suicide prevention resource created by an amazing, inspiring, incredible, all the other things, four-time suicide attempt survivor named Allie Borowski, who's become a dear friend. And together we put together this pledge called the Please Stay Pledge, and it's pleasestay.us. Mm-hmm. And it we actually just put up a billboard in Times Square that says this is the sign you've been waiting for or looking for. And it's just this powerful reminder that each of us are needed in this world. And so we've been thinking of, you know, to your conversation around culture, right? So culturally visible and relevant ways to remind people in the absence of physical connection, right? That they matter, that they're needed, that people care, that they're there, that their voice, you know, has a story to tell. So we've leaned in a lot to our virtual programming. And we've also just continued to listen to young people about what they need and create safe spaces for them to have those conversations. It's been a hard year. And we've also really encouraged our team to be honest about that, about like, what does it mean to lead a national organization and try and teach kindergarten at the same effing time, right? Like, that's my experience this year. And I think we have this urge to put a filter on our lives and be like, it's great, we're great, everything's great. And like, this year, we saw a lot more people thinking about and talking about their mental health. And I think that that hopefully is going to be one of the things that stays with us after the pandemic.
I think that's right. I think my wife is a therapist, mental health professional. And you know, previous to the pandemic, she had not seen anybody virtually, right? And now it's sort of just wide open, right? Like it is clear that modality works and is effective for people and is easy for people to access. So hopefully, it continues. If more and more people have sort of come in over the last year into the system and have been able to find care, that we can hopefully keep, you know, that stream of access open. Absolutely.
Hopefully. And I think that we've changed the definition of productivity. I definitely took for granted going to concerts and restaurants and seeing my friends. And I think, I think the things that we took for granted, like I will never take those things for granted anymore. And I think that's just a great lesson on the sort of transience of things.
Well, we come to a segment where we make our guest the czar of arts and culture of the city, but you're not a resident of Milwaukee, so our power doesn't work for you. But you've talked about how you at a national level have been able to witness through research and through observation and through your own programming, really amazing, just experiments, amazing initiatives, the innovation of how arts and culture have driven inclusivity. Right. And this, and would love to hear, what are some of your favorite examples, maybe from other cities that we here in Milwaukee could take stock in seeing how arts and culture have helped make that happen to create spaces and foster inclusion, particularly for our young folk?
Yeah. So I love that question. And some of the things that I've just really loved either being a part of or learning about, I think first about the work we've been doing in Las Vegas over the past few years. So Las Vegas is this incredible town with a really strong nonprofit and youth center, and the the music and the open mic nights and using talent as a way to tell this your story, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easier to put you know, song or notes or sounds to something that you've been feeling. And some of the incredible organizations like Project 150 and Kyler's Kicks, they like use arts as a way to express, right? Mm-hmm. I love and would invite everybody and anyone in Milwaukee that wants to participate. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about our Channel Kindness platform, mm-hmm. which includes songs and videos and poems and any other creative medium you have to share stories of kindness in your community, right? I have a preference for words because that's what comes naturally to me, but I'm in awe of the people who just sit down and play an instrument and create beautiful music. So if you go to channelkindness.org, you can actually submit your stories or your creativity there as well. And then some other examples of the way arts and culture. So I love Exploring the Arts. I'm sure you know about them, but founded by the incredible and amazing Tony Bennett, thinking about how to better thread arts education into schools and the connect the dots between the academic outcomes and the presence of culture and arts in schools. So they've been an incredible partner of ours on a number of different issues as well. And then to close it out with another amazing NGEN fellow, our colleague, Sarah Potler-Lahane, right? Who founded Move This World. Have you heard of it? Mm-mm. Move This World is incredible. She uses dance and physical activity as a way to talk about social and emotional learning in the classroom. And so I just love this idea of recognizing that people learn and process and react differently and allowing art and creative expression as a way to do that, right? And so her work's incredible as well.
That was off the dome. You threw down I'm like busy typing this stuff. Like what? And I know there's more because you didn't preview these questions. This is just boom, just bam. This is where it's at. You referenced Channel Kindness, Maya, but tell us more. Where can our listeners find out more about the Born This Way Foundation?
Yeah, so please check out bornthisway.foundation. If you or anyone you know is struggling, please check out our Get Help Now page. Please also know that it's just okay to not be okay. I feel like if you haven't heard that today, please know that however you're feeling, it's okay. This is the first pandemic. We're all surviving. So let's get through it together. The world needs you and you matter and we need you here. So hopefully you see all of those messages and more at BornThisWay.foundation. We have a prolific social media presence run by our incredible digital team led by Mitu Yilma, our digital director. And Josh Holland and Shadil Esteban, and they would love for you to follow them. Channelkindness.org is our storytelling platform. We're always looking for stories of kindness and community. I think particularly now, it's really important that we try and find hopeful, resilient, positive, inclusive content. And if we can't find it in the world, we need to be it in the world. And that's what Channel Kindness is for me. So would love to hear some stories from the folks in Milwaukee.
Wow. On that note, it's simple. You all, our listeners, you all matter. And listeners, tell people, remember, you can also tell others, remind them that they matter. And we're so glad.
The listeners can't see, but Maya is wearing a Be Kind sweatshirt.
Yes. Yes. So that's the reminder. Maya, thanks so much for hanging with us. It was a genuine pleasure. Hopefully we don't have to wait another 10 years to talk again.
That's right.
Likewise. I think that I can't wait to see you both on the conference circuit. So I can't wait for like the awkwardness in hallways. Be like, I can't wait for in-person awkwardness, but I hope you both are staying safe and well and all your listeners as well. Thank you all for being such bright lights in the world. It's a pleasure to have known you then and to keep knowing you now. And I hope they'll invite me back.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's a war. That's it. Yeah, she's back. Wait. Next week. We're bringing my. I'm just kidding.
I know this other guy.
Oh, you know another guy? You know another guy?
Downstairs. Also an engine fellow.
Yes, that's right.
David Smith. We got to bring Smitty on. We got to bring my guy.
Although we hear you might have to lure him out of the cave with food, yes, though.
So. Yeah, we have to lure him out with it's like Hansel and Gretel style. Just like pieces, also, slices. Just like,
speaking of conferences, so the first thing I want to do once the world opens up again, and I hear you two are the ones to speak to about this, is I've decided to take up stand-up comedy.
Wow.
I feel like I would really nail it because I binged Mrs. Maisel and I like
I think just because you just that's it, that's the first test. If you see it, like, you yeah, if you see it, you're like, yeah, I can do that.
No, I totally can. I am hilarious. I look forward to doing that with you both as well.
Wow.
You know, I love the fact that we have friends who are doing really cool things, and then you and I are working together, right? That's all we got going for us. Is that we're working
I know, right?
All these other folks are doing like amazing things.
They're on the world.
And I got Mac.
I
got Mac making lumpia in, you know, in
our- and dreams. I have family members making lumpia, members in dreams. Family members making lumpia in dreams. Yeah. And it's the thing is like, we, it sort of referred this earlier. It's not like we see Maya all the time, but you probably gather just from listening to her. She's just such a powerful, amazing person and generous of spirit. And so we had to talk to her about the amazing work that they're doing, important work that they're doing, and inspired, right? That we, you know, to bring that here as well in Milwaukee, and when not as much bring it here, but let's also surface it. It's happening here, right? Let's amplify and shine a light to it. As we said earlier today, some really great stuff that's happening at the grassroots level and continuing to do, but it's so crucial to make sure that young people are affirmed, especially in these times that are pretty, it's this duality, right, David? Like on some level, young people are the most dynamic because they can adapt, right? They're super resilient. They're not attached to the way things were before, but they're also, you know, very fragile, right? They're emerging. They're forming their identities and doing these things. And so it's this both and, right? And it's really needs to make sure during this time, we're hopefully paying attention.
Yeah. You know, I think the thing that I want to take away the most from this chat with Maya is how they are leaning into the idea of, you know, having KPIs for things that probably shouldn't be measured, but that we understand intuitively know, right? Like, you know, obviously we want to be able to communicate impact, but how do we make sure that we're not sort of commodifying a thing as important as belonging, inclusion, love, you know, all of the things that I think she was talking about, that you know, if seriously one person is saved or has sort of a change in their viewpoint about their belonging, that's worthwhile, right? And I think that's really important for us to
that's the power of her storytelling, right? She threw these numbers, 5 million people signed up, 100 million acts, right? And it's like, I'll admit, like what happened for me is like my eyes were kind of glossing over of the numbers, but then she said specifically this young person in Brazil had made a commitment to not hurt herself over the 21 days, and then I'm locked in, right? And that speaks to your point, right? How powerful it is to hear that individual testimony and impact on that one person. And it is some cliche in a sense of like, you know, if I only help one, but I do think the reason why it's a cliche is because there's a lot of truth to it, just how it hits home, you know. And you think that person's important, and that person's someone's daughter, or that's when maybe somebody's sister or cousin or friend, and you know that it's there, they matter. And so that's awesome. She's awesome, and we're so glad. I'm so glad that we were able to talk to her, and again celebrating the work of Lady Gaga, who's again a magnificent artist that I know I take for granted because she's so friggin' brilliant. But it's just great to be able to have a step back and go, you know, not just, you know, doing the Shallows and art pop and all that stuff, but also, you know, creating a platform for all these amazing young people to feel like they belong. That's what we're talking about, arts and culture advancing.
And ultimately what Mac is saying is that next time you come to an Imagine MKE hang, when the karaoke machine is out, that he and I will do the Shallows.
I want to do Bradley Cooper's part. That's what I'm saying. I just want to do Bradley Cooper's part.
Damn it.
You know who's going to do Lady Gaga's part?
Annie Peterson?
No, our listeners. Our listeners are going to do it. Thanks for listening, y'all. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the pod, Annie could do it, but I want our listeners to do it. Please share with others, post about it on social, leave a rating and review, or contact us directly at pod@imaginemke.org.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort produced, edited, and hosted by MacArthur Antigua, David Lee, and Lindsay Sheridan, and is the flagship of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network.
Make sure you also listen and subscribe to Black Imagination and Back Issues. Check them out of ArtsFord MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
To get all the latest from Imagine MKE, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at @imagine_MKE or Facebook at @imaginemke. If you haven't already seen it, go there to check out our amazing 414-day video. Thanks again, and we will catch you next Tuesday when we have another new guest talking about all the great stuff happening in Milwaukee's arts and culture sector. See you then.
I'm impressed with the level of detail you remember.
I wrote it down.
Okay, that's good, because I
wrote it down when I woke up, because I was like, this is...
I got to capture this, right? So my dream was kind of work-related, but it wasn't as cool as yours, so that's why I'm not doing Interpret My Dream. But for some reason... We are, a lot of us are, imagine like a bed, like a not a bunk bed, mm-hmm. right? But it's not a king size bed, but it's a bed that comfortably has 12 people on it. And there are
like
there,
a platform bed.
Like yeah, just imagine like a bed that just keeps going but for 12 people. And I'm on it and I'm sleeping on this bed, but other people are on it. And someone from one of our meetings this week was telling David, like talking about how I didn't facilitate the meeting well. Like he did this and that. And I turned over. I'm like, I'm right here. Like I'm like, I'm right here. And then I like woke up, right? And then I'm like, wait, which bed am I in? Like it felt really real. And I was so like, and I looked and I was like 1:30 and I'm like, I couldn't go back to sleep for 20 minutes because my brain was firing on like all the rebuttals to all the complaints this person had about how I held that meeting. So anyway, that was my dream, but it's not for an interpret. That was it. It wasn't like the long journey you had. I just remember this moment where I turned and I'm like, I'm right here.